Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim and Jamal back on the air, and as usual, thank you so much for sharing your Sunday afternoon or your evening with us. We really do appreciate it. Jamal, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Good afternoon to everybody.
All right. So listen, we're going to be talking about another number of things. You know, this on the news has been disheartening to hear about these issues regarding all of these children being abducted, missing, things of that nature. Gotten some emails from people regarding these issues. So we're actually going to go through some things today that I think are very important. So to me, get your pens ready, get your paper ready, take down some notes. Or you can always listen to the show later on and then and go back and get some of these tips that we're going to be giving you today. Before I forget, it's always important to let you know that if you have any questions while we're talking today, hey, feel free to give us a call. The telephone number is on the website. All right, you can go on LA Talk Radio website, and you can get the number to call us. Or if you've got your pens ready, I can let you know now. It's 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. And as usual, you can always send us an email. All right, so if you send us an email, just send that to listenup@pottsandassociates.com. All right, I know I said that a little fast. I'll slow it down. Listen up with JP at pottsandassociates.com. All right. So today we're going to be talking about the children. Like I said, it's very disheartening to hear about all of these things that are going on out there. I'm going to respond to some emails directly regarding the same thing. It seems like we're facing these crises out here with these children. But as I've said in the past before, this is not a new issue. It goes back a long way. But now with technology and the different things that are out there, people are being more sensitized to it. I think that we're actually doing a lot better than we did at one time. So we'll go through these things very carefully today and share some things with you. All right, let's get started. I'm going to read off an email to you. Jim, it is heartbreaking to see how many children in the last week or even months have gone missing. I was glad to hear about the mother that has been arrested for her two children that she refused to say where they are. Now she is part of a cult. Hopefully the children are fine. Sylvia from Mobile, Alabama. You know what? That part is true. The lady does belong to a part of a cult. And it's sad. She's called the Doomsday Mom, for those of you who do not know that. So apparently she went to Hawaii, and in Hawaii, she and her husband, apparently they are not talking, and they're not saying where these two children are. Now, this lady has an absolute problem, quite frankly. Jamal, I don't know if you were hearing about some of this on the news, but this lady even threatened her ex-husband because she said she's a messenger from God, and that, you know, I'm just telling you, you know, she's a messenger from God. And she told her ex-husband that if he interferes with anything that she's doing, basically, that she was going to kill him. Wow. I mean, that's how serious this was. Now, you notice I said ex-husband. So she's got a new husband, and this is her fourth husband. Now, you don't even want to know what happened to the other three.
They died?
Well, the ex-husband, who she threatened, he got killed last year in Arizona by her brother. And wow. Her brother claimed self-defense. Now, I think that he got off on that situation, so I'm not sure what happened.
Right.
But he was killed last year. Wow. But there's been issues along with this woman, and she's not talking. Her current husband's not talking about this as well. So, you know, we're going to have to wait and see what happens with all of this. But she's in custody. The children, one is, I think, 16 or 17 years old, and the other one is like 7 years old. And they have not been seen since September. So the authorities, and she's from Idaho, so they're trying to extradite her from Hawaii back to Idaho.
It seems like there's been more and more about situation with their parents or grandparents killing their children and stuff lately. That's very alarming.
It's extremely alarming. And, you know, this lady's lawyer has talked about this fact that that she and her husband, her current husband, that God has assigned them to carry out the work of the 144,000 at Christian's second coming in July of 2020. So I guess, you know.
That's this year.
That's this year.
He's coming?
He's coming.
Uh-oh.
Hey, I'll be happy to see him. Don't get me wrong if he really does come. But
man, I know, let's just pray that somehow or another the children are okay. I hope.
The grandparents have been on the news actually asking them to please speak up and say where these children are. But Sylvia, that's the deal. I hear you on this. There's a lot of issues regarding this. It never ceases to amaze me how even parents can take the life of their own child. I couldn't even imagine it.
I couldn't either.
You know? I mean, as much as you used to make me mad when you were in high school, I never thought about taking your life, though.
I seem like I came close a couple times to...
Well, we won't talk about that part on the air, but yeah.
Isn't that what parents say? I brought you in, I could take you out?
Yep, that's exactly what they've said.
No, but this is tragic that this is like starting to turn literal and, you know.
Yep. So, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. But this is her fourth wife. They're calling her a black widow, man. She's been married four times. And if I'm not mistaken, I think some of her other husbands have been killed as well. So, I don't know.
Well, maybe that's why the current husband's not talking.
Hey. I don't know. I know I'd be sleeping with one eye open. I know that. But anyway, that's the deal. We'll wait and see what happens. So, Sylvia, there it is. Hopefully something will materialize soon regarding, this child. And one is 17 years old, so you'd have to think that, you know, somewhere if he was still alive, I hate to say it, but he'd be up speaking up somewhere. It'd be kind of tough to hold on to a 17-year-old. But
true.
We'll wait and see. Okay, next one. Jim, I assume you heard about the DEA agent that has been arrested for helping the Colombian drug cartel launder money. I know you support law enforcement, but what do you have to say about this? With a couple of question marks. Jackie from Berkeley, California. Well, Jackie, what do I have to say? Well, you know, and I'm sure you're bringing this up because I have defended law enforcement in the past. I get that. He's a DEA agent. For those of you that did not hear about this situation, this individual, his name was, I just call him Jose. I'm not going to give you his last name because I don't think it's important for this. But he was once a standout with United States Federal Narcotics Agency, and he was known for spending money on cars, Tiffany jewelry, all kinds of stuff, having parties, these lavish parties on yachts.
Wow.
They had given him a lot of money because he was acting as an informant, and now all of a sudden they find out that, you know, underneath it all, he's been working with the Colombian cartel.
Right. Well, what I want to know, why people can't separate the two? You support law enforcement don't mean you support crooked cops or crooked law enforcement. Why would they put that on you like that?
I don't know, man.
That's two different things.
It's two different things. There's no doubt about it. You know, they're saying that this is creating a black eye for the DEA. And, you know, to me, it all feeds into this whole issue about these government agencies, the government law enforcement, ICE, here we go. These people can't be trusted, things of that nature. I'll tell you, Jackie, this is one person. I'm not saying that people haven't been arrested in the past, bad police officers. I'm not saying they're not out there. I mean, it does happen. You know, and some of these guys, I mean, we've seen and heard the horror stories where some of these guys that get involved with drugs and the money and the undercover, that somehow or another some of these guys get sucked up. They're still human beings. They still make mistakes.
It's still temptation.
You know, and there's a lot of temptations out there. I mean, some of his lavish parties, you know, on these yachts were bikini-clad hookers and things of that nature. I mean, this guy was out there.
Right.
You know, and he's married. He got arrested in San Juan, Puerto Rico, 46 years old. I mean.
But look, with any large group of people or organizations, it's always going to be a couple bad apples. I mean, shouldn't judge the whole group based off of what a few people do, though.
That's true. But with this guy, when they arrested him, he's got 19 counts, federal indictment, 19 counts.
Wow.
That's a lot. That means he's 19 different episodes, probably what they're going to try to prove against the guy. And that one of the things is that he was secretly using his position and his special access to information to divert millions in drug proceeds from control of the Drug Enforcement Administration. Mm. See, now he's using his position to shift things around internally.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that's going to be problematic, obviously, as well. So, you know, he's also apparently jeopardized investigations, jeopardized other agents, and jeopardized informants, apparently. So all of this has now come out. So who knows? I mean, if they can prove that he was associated with any of the informants getting killed, right. any of the ages getting killed. Right. And again, I don't know the 19, in terms of the 19 pieces of the indictment here, but I'm sure it's all going to come out as well. The surprising part about it is the guy was a model agent. I mean, he did great for years. So who knows at what point, he went south, right. so to speak. Now, in 2009, he was entrusted with an undercover money laundering operation and using front companies, shell bank accounts, and couriers. I mean, so this guy was really into this.
Right.
And then in 2018, January 2018, he resigned.
Wow.
Okay, and the reason why he resigned, they said, is because he figured out that they were catching on to him.
Right.
So he's resigned. So it's taken them a year to arrest him. They've probably been doing their homework.
That's got
to
be a tough job with all that temptation, man, because I'm telling you right now, you put me around money and women like that, man, I'm gone, man. Like,
that lifestyle. You say no shame in your game.
Yeah, I'll be corrupt in a heartbeat, man.
You're admitting it,
you
huh?
You won't even have to wonder.
Well, the reality is there's a lot of temptations there, and people have to understand that piece of it. There's no doubt about it. So, look, Jackie, I get it. There's bad police officers out there. I've never denied that. I've talked on the show about the fact with some of these police officers, when they turn around and shoot somebody, he's got no weapon on him. Right. He's got his hands up, or he's running away, and then all of a sudden, you shoot and kill him. So I've talked about this in the past. I don't want to say there's never a negative part to this, but I appreciate you bringing it up about this guy. But, yes, I was familiar with this gentleman. In terms of what he was doing, and for me, with the fact that he had gotten arrested. So, hey, he'll get his due course. Won't be any doubt about it. He'll go to jail, and who knows what will happen when he gets there. But it sounds like if they've got 19 counts against him, he will be going he will be going to jail. 46 years old, 19 counts. If he gets convicted on half of those, he won't be coming out anytime soon.
Yeah.
Bottom line. Absolutely. Okay. Jim, I know you will be talking about the safety of our children. Please mention about the Amber Alert System and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Thanks, Nancy. She didn't put where she was from. But is what Nancy's talking about. I think we've all seen the Amber Alerts, seen those when, and your phones are going off, Amber Alert, Amber Alert. The Amber Alert's been around for quite some time now. And, so whoever created that way back when, that was a good thing, is the bottom line. So, they've been around, just to let you know, in case you've forgotten, it's 21 years already. Amber Alert's been around now for 21 years.
Wow.
The problem with Amber Alert is that people, I don't think, always pay attention. Because let's face it, you're driving down the street, the Amber Alert goes off.
Right.
There's a lot of cars on the freeway here. A lot of people don't pay attention. But about 4 months ago, on an Amber Alert, there was a couple that actually did spot the car.
Right.
And they followed them and called the authorities. And they were actually able to catch the person.
Wow.
So that was a good thing. So it does work. There's no doubt about that.
Is it true a lot of those Amber Alerts end up being like a custody battle to kid? Because I've heard stuff like that.
It's A lot of that has to do with domestic, the issue with domestic, I don't want to say violence. I hate to use way.
Yeah.
But divorce
dispute. Yeah.
Yeah. Custody disputes.
Yeah.
People turn around and take their kids because the other side won't let them see their kids. There are a lot of issues with that. There's no doubt about that. I remember when I worked, I was working patrol, and we'd get the calls where we'd actually have to go to the station because a woman was bringing the child to the station for the father to come and pick up the child from the station because they didn't, because they were at odds.
Right.
So they wanted a safe place to always make the exchange.
Right.
So when the father would bring the child back to the station, then we'd have to be there also.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we would follow them over and transport them and all of this.
I used to bring a witness with my oldest son. I used to always have a witness with me picking up my kids and dropping them off sometimes and things like that.
Yeah.
You got cell phone cameras that can record stuff, so.
Sometimes the stuff can get nasty. There's no doubt about that. So we need to be cautious. But look, you guys, there's a National Center for Missing and Exploited Children out there. It's called the NCMEC. Again, that's the NCMEC, National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They offer critical intervention and prevention services to families and supports law enforcement agencies in cases involving missing children. So when she wrote in, she asked me to mention those because I think those are good agencies. That is a good agency. So they're out there trying to do things, you know, but they always need the help of the general public as well. And we'll be, Jamal and I will be talking about some things today that will aid with that, how to be, you know, cautious and things of that nature as well. But the Amber Alert system, just to let you know, is actually in 27 countries other than the United States. They're also in the District of Columbia, all 50 states, including the District of Columbia, Indian Country, Puerto Rico, the United States, Virgin Islands, and like I said, in 27 other countries as well. So, you know, sometimes these people take their children and then they go back to the country that they're from also.
Right.
And then it's hard to be able to extradite them and get them back here.
Right.
And that is the sad part. But in September 2019, there's a total of 967 children that have been successfully recovered through the Amber Alert system.
Wow.
967. So that's pretty good. So that system does work. So, hey, guys, when you're out there and that Amber Alert does go off, hey, just take a look around, you know, see if any cars fit that bill. You know, if you've got to make a phone call, when I ask you to ram the car and make them pull over, but just, you know, try to write it down, right? You know, let them, or call 911 and let them know that you've spotted that particular situation. All right?
And please let law enforcement handle it.
Right. All right? We don't want you to jump in the middle of it for sure. Okay. Now, let's talk about some things here. Let's talk about what parents need to know, okay, in terms of some of the prevention regarding abductions. Now, look, let's start at the very basics with this. Babies in the hospital. Now, people don't normally think about that because you go in there, you're looking at the baby behind glass and things of that nature, but people snatch babies also. There's one that's in Tennessee right now where it's a toddler. The toddler is only 18 months old, and I still consider that a baby, by the way, even though it's out of the hospital. But it's a toddler, 18 months old, that's been missing since last September.
Wow.
And the mother, they're saying, seems to be not too concerned. I mean, she's bringing this up, but she's laughing and joking about things. Oh, yeah. So now the police department is thinking, okay, what's going on here?
Right.
Because, first of all, she didn't even report the child missing for 2 months.
Wow.
Now, you know, ordinarily, you're going to report a child right away.
Right.
All right. But it's been like 2 months before she actually reported it. So that's now making her a little suspect.
Right.
You know, and the same thing happened with Miss Anthony out of Florida. Remember the whole big issue with that? And she ended up being tried. I think she got off and the whole nine yards. So who knows, you know. So I'm going to go through some tips. We're going to talk about some of these things, but there's quite a few of them. But let's just talk about some things. I want to start at the very basics, because don't think your child is necessarily safe even in hospitals, because they do snatch them out of the hospitals as well. Nurses, and look, I've got family members that are nurses, so I'm not saying anything about negative about nurses, so please don't write to me talking about I hate nurses. I don't hate nurses, okay? So let's make that clear. But they have had situations with nurses that have taken them, you know, taken babies as well. So the first thing is, if you're going in, you know, if you're out there and you're going to have a baby, you're heading to the hospital, first thing, inquire about security procedures used by the facility at some point before the birth of the baby. Request a copy of the facility's written guidelines about special care and security procedures in the maternity unit. Know all of the facility's procedures in place to safeguard your baby while staying at that facility. See, parents don't think about that. But if you really think about it now, especially if they're abducting them out of the hospitals, we know that you have a lot on your mind simply because, hey, I got a child coming, the woman's going out. Yeah, nobody's thinking about the fact that these people are going to be stealing babies.
Don't leave nothing to assumptions. They're all strangers to you.
There are people out there that will do exactly what we're talking about. If you guys listen to the news often enough, you'll hear on occasion where a baby was missing from the hospital and you scratch your head and say, how is that possible? All right? So just keep it in mind. Now, ask again after admission about the facility's protocols concerning routine nursery procedures, feeding, and visitation hours that include security measures. Okay, because visitation hours are important. All right, so you want to find all of those things out. And I know that we don't think about these things, but now we have to start thinking about these things. All right, so 3, be deliberately watchful, all right, over your newborn baby. While it is normal for new parents to be anxious, it is important to channel that energy into positive vigilance and keep your baby within direct line of sight. You know, this business about baby in line of sight, this is after the hospital. Jamal, when you were a baby, we had a situation where your mother was actually had you in a cart at the, the shopping cart at one of the grocery stores, and she had turned her back for a minute because you're looking up on the shelf to find, to find a particular item, and she turns around and here this guy was lifting you up, okay, to, out of the cart, and she spotted him. Of course, she yelled, wow. Okay, and he put you down. Okay, I mean, you were a big baby. He needed two hands. So I want to mention that.
I was going to say, did he try to sue you guys for back injury?
Well, don't get me started on that, because your mother and I used to argue whose turn it was to carry you, okay? So let's not go there. But at any rate, the other thing is, don't leave your baby out of your direct line of sight, even when you go to the restroom, ladies, or take a nap. If you leave the room or plan to go to sleep, alert the nurses to take your baby back to the nursery. Once again, if it's during visiting hours, there are people walking around. The nurses aren't necessarily maybe necessarily paying attention. So here they bring you the baby. You've got to get up to go use the restroom. Maybe you leave the child in the bed, but you got the baby protected with, pillows around him or whatever, to go use the restroom real quick, and now you come back. I mean, I'm telling you these things because these are the situations that have happened, all right? So you want to be very, very aware. All right. The other thing is, don't give your baby to anyone without properly verified identification as issued by that facility. They have people that make assumptions that certain people are there. But again, if you don't recognize the person, don't recognize the nurse, don't just give your baby up like that. All right. That's why you also have to become familiar with the people that work in that unit. Now, these days, to be honest with you, Jamal, I think when these women are having these babies these days, I think they're being released within a day or two.
That soon?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, some of these women are getting out quick, okay?
Right.
And there's a lot of different reasons for that. Now, sometimes some of the babies have to stay at the hospital because these babies have issues.
Right.
All right? And those, to me, you got to be careful because they can be vulnerable because now a parent's not on site.
Right.
All right? So it makes a big difference,
Right.
But, yeah, a lot of these women are having these babies now, and they're going home, I mean, almost like within a day or so.
Wow.
It's a lot different from back in the day when they may stay in there for a few days.
Wow.
So keeping that in mind. So that's why you want to make sure that you're familiar with the staff who work in the maternity area. Okay, question unfamiliar people entering your room or inquiring about your baby. People start asking you questions about the baby. Hey, find out who they are, what they want. Watch the attire that they're wearing. Make sure that the outfits, that the dress that they're wearing is consistent with everybody else's. All right? Let's see here.
Check badges, too.
Check badges. Well, this says have at least one color photograph of your baby. Oh, this is important. Yeah, checking the badges is important. Or they're supposed to wear the badges. In hospitals, man, they always have those IDs on them. But this one to me is important. Have at least one color photograph of your baby with a full front face view for your records to take home. All right? Also, it's recommended that healthcare facilities footprint newborn babies and ask for a set to take home and compile a complete written description of your baby, including hair, eye color, length, weight, date of birth, and specific physical characteristics. This one to me is very important, guys, because it's hard to get that information after the fact. Now, some of that's on the birth certificate, but that birth certificate doesn't come until a little bit later. I'm going to repeat that, actually, okay, because this is important. So you take a picture of your baby. So keep that in mind. Take a picture of the baby, all right, that you have. Make it a color picture. This is for newborns, all right? Get the footprint from the newborn babies. Ask to have a set to take home with you. Compile a complete written description of the hair color, length, weight, date of birth, and specific physical characteristics. That, to me, is very important because, again, you're not thinking about these things. You're going home. You're happy. Right. You're going to grab your child. You're going to take the child home. Everybody's all excited. But these things are important to do at the outset. Right. All right, because if something does happen, you want them to be able to put that information in a database, all right, so that they can be out there looking, all right? Number 10, this next one over here, request a set of written guidelines at some point after the birth of your baby, but before discharge from the hospital, about the procedures for any follow-up care extended by the facility scheduled to take place, so you want to know about all of that, beforehand, which most parents are going to do that anyway, from that standpoint. So here you are, you're in a hospital. These are just some things to keep in mind because, as I said, they will snatch these babies out of the hospital. And look, it doesn't happen all the time. Yes, they have security at the hospital, but think about it. If you've been in a hospital, you see security people walking around, milling around. The nursing stations, they're all talking and chatting. They're not always paying attention. All right, so you've got to be proactive as well. So what do you think, Jamal?
Oh, absolutely. You can never, like I said, when you go to a hospital, you don't know these people. They're just, everybody's just working. Everybody's a complete stranger. So just understand that your baby's in the hands of strangers. You know what I mean? And ask questions. Ask the charge nurse, hey, do you know that nurse, you know, before you give the baby, you know, to somebody, you know, ask questions. How long have you known that person? How long has that person been here?
Well, you know? if you think about hospitals just in general, people just walk into hospitals.
True.
There's no stop and frisk, so to speak. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mention stop and frisk. That's a big issue these days.
But you know,
there's nobody that really is monitoring who you are. Why are you here?
Right. And nursing scrubs is not hard to get at all. You know what I mean? To blend in, to look like you belong and like you're supposed to be there, especially when people are tired of working 2 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you know, you can buy those scrubs.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right. People can buy these scrubs at these different facilities, and it's true. You know,
right.
So after a while, they all look alike, so to speak. Now, once they are at home, though, all right, do not allow anyone into your home who says he or she is affiliated with the hospital without proper verification. Because sometimes people have to come to the hospital from the hospital or whatever, possibly for some kind of care, treatment, or things of that nature.
Okay.
Depends upon the hospital. But just make sure that the person that's identified, that they have the proper identification, so they say here.
Right.
Now, here's something else you don't think about. And I don't know so much if they do this anymore, but people put birth announcements in the newspaper.
Really?
That one time people did do that.
Wow.
Now, to me, I look at that in some of the smaller towns as well.
Right.
You know, where they're announcing things, you know, and here's what it is, but it's saying specifically, consider the risk you may be taking when permitting your baby's birth announcement to be published in the newspaper or online. Now, think about online. Online spreads it out all over the place.
Everybody.
People put it on Facebook. Here's my baby. They're putting the picture of the baby online, you know, and you've got to understand that we're living in these different times. And as happy as you are with that, you know, you've got to be smarter than that now. Okay. So plastering your pictures, your baby's pet. Think about some of these movie stars. When they have children, they don't plaster their pictures all over the place.
Right.
A lot of these movie stars, you don't even know who their children are. They do that on purpose.
Right.
You know? So think about that. You know, the internet's supposedly a wonderful thing. I get all of that. Facebook, people love it. But they're putting too much information on there. All right? There was a lady not too long ago who ended up snatching somebody's child. Okay, from their home. You just have to be conscientious about this. So this thing about birth announcements should never include family's home address and be limited to the parents' surnames. Okay, so giving out the first and last name. General birth announcement in newspapers are not endorsed by most experts. And here's what it also says. Also use caution when communicating with those on social media, which we just talked about, and carefully consider what you post on your social media pages about your baby and you.
Right.
You know? So those are the things that we have to do. All right? Now, I'll tell you something else. I was at a grocery store not too long ago. I mentioned this on one of the other shows. And here's a guy that had his son. He was sitting in a little basket at the cart at the checkout stand. And he had a bracelet on. And here's the child's name. Okay? On the little bracelet.
Right.
Okay? And I said, hey, listen, I don't, you know, necessarily want to interfere in your business. But you've got your young son's name right here, right there. Kids are very happy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they speak to strangers.
Right.
All right? And so if a stranger already knows their name, hi, so-and-so.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The children, they're all happy. You turn your back, they think that there's a connection because they know the name.
Right.
And it makes it easier. So don't be putting your children's name, you know, on their shirts, on these little tags, or on these little hats and stuff. That stuff's cute, but doesn't work that
way. Man, you guard your kids' identity and everything else like it's your social security card, man. Like, you just don't let nobody have access, you know? People do all kind of crazy stuff these days.
Kids are very friendly people, all right? Matter of fact, Jamal, you know, my grandson, Jamal's son, was a very friendly guy. You got a story to share.
Yeah, my youngest son, and I won't say his name.
Right. You know, what I didn't.
No. My youngest son, he actually he has autism. And so, like, raising him was, like, a little bit different because he was a very friendly kid. Everybody loved him. You know what I mean? But we had to teach him, and he's a hugger. He always wanted to hug people when he was little. So we had to teach him about stranger danger, like, you know, those kind of words with kids and stuff. Don't talk to strangers. Strangers talk to you. Yell stranger danger. Well, one day we was in a restaurant, and we was his mom and I were getting ready to pay the bill. He was sitting down on, like, a little stool behind us, and there was a lady, and he sparked a conversation with the lady. He was all like, oh, hi, my name is so-and-so. And the lady said, oh, just being friendly back. Hi, so-and-so. We're right there monitoring, so, you know, everything is pretty cool. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, in the middle of his conversation, it clicked to him. He had a Dory moment. Uh-oh, stranger danger. Stranger danger! And he started screaming. Stranger danger in the restaurant. The lady got scared. It was like, no, it's okay. It's okay. We got it. Okay. He's like, stranger danger. Like, this lady's scared because she don't want everybody thinking she's trying to
snatch this little kid that was sitting there.
Yeah.
Well, she can't snatch him anymore because he's like 6 feet tall now. So,
yeah.
There's no snatching him now. The other thing is, look, guys. And this is very important, too. Specifically, do not include the mother's first name or home location when posting announcements. And remember what information is already posted online profiles that could provide these details. But the other thing is, know the use of outdoor announcements. Sometimes people put outdoor announcements on because they're so happy. So they put new baby, okay, and they put balloons, and they do all of this drawing attention to the fact that there's a new baby in the household.
Right.
So they're saying that you should not do that. I mean, we don't think about these things.
Once again, it's one of those situations. You got all the right intentions. You want to celebrate. Right. You want to be happy because you just brought a beautiful baby. But there's psychotic people out there that got evil intentions, man. And we got to remember they are there.
What we haven't talked about is why people take people's babies. Some people can't have kids.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
Because some people can't have children.
Right.
Some people are jealous. Friends have snatched babies.
Yeah.
You know, and then they don't find, or some relatives will snatch babies, and then they don't find them for years later.
Right.
You know, when the child is now older and finally has made contact somehow. Oh, yeah, that's happened as well. But this business about large floral wreaths and other lawn ornaments are not recommended to announce a birth because they call attention to the presence of a new baby in the home.
Right.
You know, and only allow people into your home who are well known by the mother. Now, they say by the mother, ain't say by the father. I don't know why that is, but I'm only reading what it says here, well known by the mother. It is ill-advised to allow anyone into your home who's just a mere or recent acquaintance, especially if met briefly since you became pregnant and gave birth to your child. They're saying that for a reason, because there are people that will make contact with people because they're pregnant, they know they're going to have the child, and they say that that's problematic because later on that person who's now has befriended them now is one of the ones that they have found that may be taking a child later on. You know, there's been several cases in which an abductor has made initial contact with a mother and a baby in the healthcare facility setting, and then subsequently abducted the baby from the family home.
Wow.
So if anyone should arrive at the home claiming to be affiliated with the healthcare facility where the baby was born or other healthcare provider, remember to follow the procedures outlined above. All right? Wow. Just remember the family. That's your security team, by the way. That's your domestic security team.
That's what we like to think.
That's right. Well, I'm talking about immediate family, right, not the other ones that you have to be worried about, okay?
Right.
So, now, this also, just to enlighten them a little bit more, it says, in addition, there have been cases in which initial contact with a mother and baby was made in order. At other settings, such as clinics, doctor's offices, shopping malls, and bus stations. So, when taking your baby out, whenever possible, take a trusted friend or family member with you as an extra set of hands and eyes. This is where I was going back when we were talking about what happened with you.
Right.
Okay, because she was there alone. All right. So, you know, we hate the fact that we have to think about these things.
Yeah.
But there's people out there that say, oh, he's so cute, can I pick him up? And, if you know, parents are all happy and bubbly. Uh-uh.
You know, that's a very good point, too, which leads me to another kind of incident. You know, my daughter has locks, and you know, when she was little, strangers would just like love her hair and just want to touch it and feel her braids or her locks, and you know, we always taught her, like, no, it's not okay for somebody to invade your space just because you're an adult and you're a child. It's okay. And she had no problem. She had attitude when she was little anyway. But you know what I'm saying? Like, no, it's not okay for strangers or people to touch your child's hair because they want to see how it feels or their outfit or anything on them. Mm-hmm. They do not need to touch them. And it's okay. Don't worry about, you know, you don't want to be rude to people and stuff like that when it comes to your child. The heck with that. You know what I mean? They would rule for invading your kid's space.
These days, we don't want people touching us, much less our children. I mean, people are watching out for so many things with the spread of these different things that are going around right now. It's like, you know, we need to be cautious. But you know what? Let's flip the coin for a second here, because what happens when a person spots a child? Because even at we've seen people whose children gotten lost at the store.
Yeah.
At the mall. I don't know how that happens. They drift away from the parents. It happens. I'm sure it happens all the time. These kids drift away. The parents aren't paying attention or whatever. So let's take for a moment what you should do if you see a child who appears to be lost. All right? So what do you do if the child appears to be lost? All right? So let's look at some things right here. First of all, get involved if you see a child who appears to be lost. Comfort the child, but avoid physically touching the child. All right? That makes sense. You don't want to be called a molester, a pedophile, nothing. Don't touch the child. You know, you can talk to the child. Sometimes the children are crying because they can't find their parents or somebody wants to pick them up and comfort them. Don't do that, okay? If it's at a mall or something of that nature, call security.
Right.
They can always announce it over the PA system. But don't touch the child because you don't want to be accused of anything. And even in these public restrooms, I think I've told you not too long ago, Jamal, when I'm in a public restroom and I go in there, and there's a young child in there, because some of these people let their children just go into these, it's amazing to me.
Right.
You know, hey, if I walk in there and I see a young child in there, I turn around and walk out until the child comes out. I don't want anybody accusing me of anything. But anyway, you can comfort the child, but avoid physically touching him or her. Ask the child if he or she is lost or knows the location of their parents. If they're lost, they're not going to know the location, but ask them anyway.
Right.
They may be able to point at a store that maybe the parent went in and they came out or whatever the case may be. Refrain from requesting too much personal information since children are taught not to give out this information, which I think in a moment you're going to be talking about some of those things, Jamal.
Absolutely.
Contact law enforcement, as we already said. Ask other adults in the area for assistance in reporting if need be. Remain in the immediate location and do not take the child elsewhere. It's important. Don't move the child from there because the parent may have remembered that the child was in that general vicinity the last time. And if you take them out of that area, now it becomes more problematic and stressful for the parents, okay? So try to remain in the area and call security if it's at the mall, whatever the case may be.
Let me ask you this real quick while we're on this subject. Let's say you do find a kid, because I've seen this, I've been in a situation where I found a kid wandering in the parking lot, and you could clearly see this kid is lost, and somebody comes by and claims, oh, that's my child. What do you do at that point? Because you don't really know this child. You don't even know this adult. You know what I mean?
Here's what you could do. As crazy as this may sound, okay, if the hairs on the back of your neck are standing up, in my opinion, and now here's this child, and here somebody walks up and says, oh, that's my child, say no problem. Take out your cell phone and take a picture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's easy. Hey, say, you know what? No problem. Let me just take a picture of you two.
Right.
Okay, just to have that, okay, because, hey, these days, who knows?
Right.
You know, and if you say that's your child, then you don't mind the picture being taken.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And do it that way.
Right.
All right? If they get in a vehicle, take a picture of the license plate.
Right. Absolutely.
I think those are the things you can do. Because, look, if that's my child, somebody comes to me, you know, they're going to get defensive.
Right. True.
What are you talking about? That's my child. You know,
which I don't understand, because how did you, if you don't be that defensive when you lost your child in the first place.
Well, the other side of the coin is they should be saying thank you.
True.
Okay?
True.
So, you know, why get defensive? If I'm here, I see a lost child. You know, and I'm making sure that the child is just going to be safe. Okay,
right.
You're walking up. This is my child. No problem.
Right.
Okay. I'm wondering, you know, you don't want to say anything that's going to make them defensive.
Right.
Okay. Ask them, well, you know, how'd you let the child get away from you in the first place?
Right.
You know, but we're not going to go there because, look, as much as you know, as you've had children, as much as parents try to keep an eye on children,
right,
they are quick.
Right.
Sometimes it is just a, you know, it takes a split second.
Right.
You know, for those children to be, you know, running off someplace.
I remember when you left my little brother at the store.
Oh, Jamal, why are you going to put me on blast? That was funny, though. But see, the problem was...
He was a teenager, too. He was like 13 or 14.
You know what? But here was the deal. I remember that situation. It wasn't just like that, okay?
Right.
The real deal was that you and I got out of the car to go into the convenience store.
Right.
He was in the car when we got out.
Right.
He and he was like 13 years old.
Yeah.
Okay? So... When you and I came out of the store, we're talking. We don't know that he got out of the car and decided to go into the convenience store.
Right. So, and also, Brenda was following us in another car also, too, I think, what's going on.
Yeah, I don't remember. But anyway, I just know that we got in the car, we're driving down the street with the window open. You and I are still talking. We never even looked into the back seat to see that he wasn't there. And all of a sudden, I got my windows, we're driving down the street. I'm hearing... Daddy! Daddy!
Hey, let me tell you something. That boy was fast.
I know. He's running down the street.
He was sprinting down the sidewalk trying to catch up to the car. I just happened to look to the left and heard somebody screaming. And man.
So these things do happen, okay? But fortunately, we were able to slow down and stop. And he was a little out of breath, but he got in that car.
He made it.
He made it, you know. But things like that can happen,
yeah.
You know. So wait with the child until help arrives as well. So if you call a 911, just wait there with the child. Call the 911 and get them there. Well, Jamal, I tell you what parents should be doing in terms of you know telling their kids or you know schooling their kids you know about you know he's a stranger. So
you know some of the things. First, you have to develop a good relationship with your child to where they could be comfortable telling you anything. Your child should always be your go-to person to tell anything. So some of those things are like, number one, you want to have your child should have a check first policy. If your child, somebody's asking your child anything, a stranger, somebody other than your parent, your child should check with parents, guardians, or other trusted adults before going anywhere, before helping anyone, before accepting anything, or getting into a car. Check with your parents first. Instill that in your child. Number two, your child shouldn't go anywhere alone. If they're at a park playing, and they want to go to the bathroom, they should take a friend. Let your parents know and take a friend with you when you're going places or playing outside. Number three, tell people no if they try to touch you or hurt you. Nobody should be touching you or invading your space. And like I said, reinstill this in your kids is very important. You can't be scared. It's not being rude when you don't allow somebody to touch you and invade your space. Number four, I tell my trusted, you want to tell your kid, trusted adult, if anything makes you feel sad, scared, or confused. If somebody is touching you, going near you, or having a conversation that seems inappropriate, you want your child to feel comfortable telling you that. Like, it's okay for them to tell you
that. And this is when they're in school, away from school, playground, whatever the case may be.
Whether it's a teacher, principal, coach,
right?
Anybody.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Coaches these days are catching a hard rap behind some of
this
stuff.
Man, and it's sad, but, you know, you can't trust anybody, you know? Sometimes there are people who trick or hurt others. No one has the right to do that to you. So use these rules and remember, stay strong, stay smart. And once again, just reinforce these values in your kids.
You know, and that's the point. You know, don't take things for granted and don't think it can't happen to you. Look, there's some places where kids are growing up in these small communities, Jamal, and everybody knows everybody. So they're a little bit more lackadaisical.
Right.
And that's fine. The problem is what happens when they go to another city to visit other people, other family members, and things of that nature. That's why they got to keep that in mind.
Right.
You know?
Even if you're going to let your child spend the night, man, take license plate numbers, the parents they spend the night with, hey, pictures, get a group pic, slide it in there somehow.
Group picture, huh?
anything, man, you know?
Anything that you can do to keep your child safe, you got to do. Because, like I said, I didn't get into the statistics today because I normally give a lot of statistics on this show. And I think in the past I've talked about some stats. I don't have the stats from last year yet on this. So I may look them up to see how many kids last year got abducted.
Yeah.
Before I forget, let me just tell you something. You can actually get some of this information we're talking about as well before I forget. Jamal, will you finish with that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You can go to the National Center. I think I already told you this. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, all right? So that's the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. You can get some of this information off their website. you know, and print it out. And they'll send you some of this stuff so that you have it as well. I think this is good for the schools. Should be handing some of this out or have some of these things posted as well. But I really think it's very good. It's very good information. Now, the last thing I want to do is go over a quick reference guide for families. So this is kind of like an emergency response situation. What should you do if your child does come up missing? I can't go over all of these. There's quite a few of them. We don't have enough time right now. But I want to go over some of them. Now, remember what we also said initially. You should already have pictures of a child, which that's probably not going to be a problem. But remember something. Keep current pictures. Sometimes people don't always have current pictures. The kid is now, you know, 9 years old, and the last time he took a picture was when he was five. These days, with everybody having cell phones, yeah. That's probably not going
to
be
an
issue.
It's a newborn baby, even month to month. Do you know
right.
what I mean?
You know, because they change their features very quickly, so that's a very good point. But the first thing you do if a child comes up, obviously contact your local law enforcement agency as soon as you have determined your child is missing or has been abducted. Do not delay in reporting your child missing to law enforcement. That was one of the things that the sheriff was talking about. I forget what little city this is where this little girl is missing in Tennessee.
Right.
But the sheriff was on there today saying, look, she did not even report this for 2 months.
Yeah.
That's hard to be able to now turn around and start doing some investigation.
Right.
Okay, if it's two months before.
Right.
You know, it's extremely, you know, extremely difficult.
Right.
Search any area into which a child could crawl and hide and possibly be asleep or unable to get out.
Right.
People forget about that.
Right.
They're talking about closets, things of that nature.
Right.
Make sure. Oh, by the way, even when we were younger, they were telling people about these refrigerators, like old refrigerators.
Refrigerators, also washing machines and
right.
dryers and things like that.
That's
also.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, take the doors off of those things because children can crawl in those things. The child is missing, and now the child is trapped inside. I remember that even from when we were little,
right.
that they used to always preach that.
One of my favorite, saddest episodes of Punky Brewster, when I was a kid, they did a show on that about, there was an abandoned refrigerator, the kid was playing hide-go-seek, and the Cherry hid herself in that refrigerator.
You know what? Yeah. There was an episode, one of my favorite shows was Hill Street Blues.
Yeah.
And they were all looking for a missing child, and they found a child downstairs in a cellar.
Right.
Where an old refrigerator, where he'd gone in the door closed behind them. You know, those situations are sad, but they're true. So remember that. You got an old refrigerator around, those other things like that. Take the lids off of them, take it so that the child can't get in there and get themselves trapped.
Right.
All right? And now they're all scowling around looking for the child, and now the child is still there. The child is just in a spot that they couldn't find. So you got to find out, search any area where a child could crawl or hide and possibly be asleep or unable to get out. Closets, piles of laundry, in and under beds, inside large appliances, which we already talked about, vehicles including trunks or other space in which a child might fit. Always watch these abandoned wells, caves, sheds, buildings, and crawl spaces.
Yeah.
I mean, again, that's for people out there in the country.
Right.
You know, so we have a national audience, so it applies to them as well. You got to give law enforcement date, time, and location where the child was last seen. Obviously, that makes sense. Remember names and description of companions, by the way. That's another thing. Sometimes children are out there playing together.
Right.
They get upset with each other. Something happens. Nobody says anything. Nobody reports it. And nobody even knows the child was together.
Right.
And now that child is somewhere and one of the other kids harmed him.
Right.
And, you know, hasn't said anything because they're afraid to say anything because the kid got hurt, whatever the case may be.
Right.
You know, so let's make sure that if they're going off someplace, they know exactly who they're going off, who they're with, et cetera.
Make sure they check with you first.
Uh-huh. The other thing is that people don't think about, secure the child's room and personal belongings. Okay, so if the child is missing, secure the room. There may be clues in there. Don't be in there, you know, where you might be able to destroy evidence, things of that nature.
Right.
During the summer times, it may be a little bit warm, so people have the windows open,
right.
you know, just with screens in them. Make sure that you put those window locks on so they can't raise the screen but so high.
Right.
Because these people could take kids out of rooms, you know, during the course of the night. You think the child is in there sleeping and the child is gone.
Right.
All right, so we got to be aware of those things as well. If you have air conditioning, that's great because you can put it on low. You don't have to worry about it.
Right.
Everybody can't afford air conditioning. So
right.
Let's be conscientious of that. Let's see. Identify and secure any computers, wireless devices used by your child, but do not attempt to conduct search on those devices on your own. Let law enforcement look into it for clues.
Right.
Kind of skipping around now.
Speaking of law enforcement,
uh-huh.
just real quick, man. We didn't give a shout out early. I wanted to give a shout out earlier real quick to the law enforcement officer who was ran over by those teenagers. I forgot what state that was in.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, prayers go out. I hope he's doing well and recovering well.
You know, and that's not the first story we've heard. I think a female officer got killed about 2 months ago. Same thing. She got run over.
And I was joking earlier about, you know, the DEA temptations and stuff like that. And I just want to make a disclosure, man. I was just kidding. I'm a very trustworthy person when I said I would run off under those circumstances with money and women and stuff like that. I don't want nobody out there taking me serious, man.
I get it, Jamal. Besides, you got a job. I'd be wondering where you are and what you're doing anyway since you work for me.
Yeah.
You know, so no, okay, that's not a problem. So you cleaning that up. I appreciate that, man. You know, because I want people to know that I taught you better values than that. But I just didn't mention it early. I'm like, Jamal, we taught you better than that.
Right.
But since you cleaned it up yourself now, that I didn't have to say that. So, you know, that works out fine from that perspective.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about some very serious things today, you guys. And these things aren't to scare you. These things are just to prepare you. It's things that we don't think about on a day-by-day basis. But unfortunately, we're living in these times where we actually have to think about these things. It is sad, but it's true. All right, you don't want to be a victim of these things. As I always say to people, you've got to be prepared. Absolutely. All right, and that's the bottom line. All right, you've been listening to Jim Potts and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show. Be sure to join us next week. Hey, do me a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until then, be safe, but more importantly, be a reluctant victim. Thank you so much. Until next week.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.